Hello, listeners. Welcome to the next episode of the Violet Strange Mystery Series. The little minx is getting closer and closer to the heart of the mystery. Like a determined little terrier, she keeps digging and digging away. Enjoy. Arrived at the address named, she went in alone to see Mr. Brown. He was her father's lawyer and a family friend. Hardly waiting for his affectionate greeting, she cried out quickly, "Tell me how I can learn anything about the old Schaefer house in 17th Street. Now, don't look surprised. I have very good reasons for my request, and I'm in an awful hurry. But I know, there's been a dreadful tragedy next door to it. But it's about the Schaefer house itself. I want some information. Has it an agent? Of course it has an agent, and here is his name." Mr. Brown presented her with a card on which he had hastily written both name and address. She thanked him, dropping him a mocking courtesy full of charm, whispered, "Don't tell Father," and was gone. Her manner to the next man she interviewed was very different. As soon as she saw him, she subsided into her usual society manner. With just a touch of the conceit of the successful debutante, she announced herself as Miss Strange of 72nd Street. Her business with him was in regard to the possible renting of the Schaefer house. She had an old lady friend who was desirous of living downtown. In passing through 17th Street, she had noticed that the old Schaefer house was standing empty and had been immediately struck with the advantages it possessed for her elderly friend's occupancy. Could it be that the house was for rent? There was no sign of it to that effect, but... etc. His answer left her nothing to be hoped for.
"It is going to be torn down," he said.
"Oh, what a pity," she exclaimed. "Real colonial, isn't it? I wish I could see the rooms inside before it is disturbed. Such doors and such dear old-fashioned mantelpieces as it must have. I just dote on the colonial. It brings up such pictures of the old days. Weddings, you know, and parties. All so different from ours and so much more interesting." Is it the chance shot that tells? Sometimes. Violet had no especial intention in what she said, save as a prelude to a pending request. But nothing could have served her purpose better than that one word, wedding. The agent laughed, and giving her his first indulgent look, remarked genially,
"Romance is not confused to those ancient times. If you were to enter that house today, you would come across evidences of a wedding as romantic as any which ever took place in all of the 70-odd years of his existence. A man and a woman were married there, day before yesterday, who did their first courting under its roof 40 years ago. He had been married twice, and she once in the interval, but the old love held firm, and now at the age of 60 and over, they have come together to finish their days in peace and happiness. Or so we will hope."
Married! Married in that house, and on the day that..."
She caught herself up in time. He did not notice the break. "Yes. In memory of those old days of courtship, I suppose. They came here about 5, got the keys, drove off, went through the ceremony in that empty house, returned the keys to me in my own apartment, took the steamer for Naples, and were on the sea before midnight. Do you not call that quick work as well as highly romantic?"
"Very."
Miss Strange's cheek had paled. It was apt to when she was greatly excited.
"But I don't understand," she added the moment after. "How could they do this and nobody know about it? I should have thought it would have gotten to the papers."
"They are quiet people. I don't think they told their best friends. A simple announcement in the next day's journals testified to the fact of their marriage, but that was all. I would not have felt at liberty to mention the circumstances myself if the parties were not well on their way to Europe."
"Oh, how glad I am that you did tell me such a story of constancy and the hold which old associations have upon sensitive minds. But,
why, miss, what's the matter? You look very much disturbed.
Don't you remember? Haven't you thought? Something else happened that very day and almost at the same time on that block. Something very dreadful.
Mrs. Doolittle's murder?
Yes, it was as near as next door, wasn't it? Oh, if this happy couple have known.
But fortunately they didn't, nor are they likely to till they reach the other side. You needn't fear that their honeymoon will be spoiled that way.
But they may have heard something or seen something before leaving the street. Did you notice how the gentleman looked when he returned you the keys?
I did.
And there was no cloud on his satisfaction.
Oh, how you relieve me!
One. Two dimples made their appearance in Miss Strange's fresh young cheeks. Well, I wish them joy. Do you mind telling me their names? I cannot think of them as actual persons without knowing their names.
The gentleman was Constantine Amidon. The lady, Marion Schaefer. You will have to think of them now as Mr. and Mrs. Amidon.
I will. And thank you, Mr. Hutton. Thank you very much. Next to the pleasure of getting the house for my friend is that of hearing this charming bit of news with his connection. She held out her hand, and as he took it, remarked, "They must have had a clergyman and witnesses?"
"Undoubtedly."
"I wish I had been one of the witnesses," she sighed sentimentally.
"They were two old men."
"Oh, no! Don't tell me that!"
"Fogies, no less."
"But the clergyman? He must have been young. Surely there was someone capable of appreciating the situation."
"I can't say about that. I did not see the clergyman."
"Oh, well, it doesn't matter."
Miss Strange's manner was as nonchalant as it was charming.
"We will think of him as being very young."
And with a merry toss of her head, she flittered away. But she sobered very rapidly upon entering her limousine.
"Hello?"
"Ah, is that you?"
"Yes, I want a Marconi sent."
"A Marconi?"
"Yes, to the Cretic, which left dock the very night in which we are so deeply interested."
"Good. Whom to, the captain?"
"No, to a Mrs. Constantine Amidon. But first, be sure that there is such a passenger."
"Mrs., what idea have you there?"
"Excuse my not stating over the telephone. The message is to be to this effect."
So, what is that message going to say? You'll find out in the next episode of the Violet Strange audio mystery series, which will be broadcast within the next 10 days, maybe even sooner. You can find us on Twitter at Audio Mystery Time. That's audio, cap A, mystery, cap M, and time, cap T-Y-M. We're also on Tumblr. See you again soon, and thanks for listening. Bye.